The reading for this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Let us hear these words. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Secondly, I'd like to read the text I'm using for preaching this morning. It comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm sure that you never like to assume that people have heard these passages, but I'm sure this is familiar to many of you, so let me hear this word from Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in the instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from this him. Get these last few words, until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with and for me, please? Gracious God, in these few moments together now, I would ask that you transform this from a time when we get together just to see good friends into a time and when your name is lifted up and we depart more exciting to serve you. For it is in Christ Jesus' name that we are here. Amen. On a particular Sunday morning, a couple was getting up ready to go to church. Only the man kind of wanted to stay in bed. His wife punched him a couple of times, and he said, "I think I'll just roll over." She got up and proceeded to get dressed, and he came to the door again and said, "Don't you think it's time for you to start getting ready?" She went ahead and got almost ready, and she came back a third time or fourth time and said, "Honey, it's really important for you to get to church, for after all, you are the preacher." Now, the temptations face us every day. Little temptations face us every day. All our days are filled with temptations to take the easy way. Shall I sit here and read a good book? Or shall I get up and go to the gym and exercise a little bit, keep my body in shape? shall I take out to talk out this conflict with my spouse? Or should I just kind of wait and hope things kind of pass over? We face hundreds of such situations each day in which the choice is not between good and evil, but the choice is between something hard and something easy. Sometimes the temptation is to take the easier way. The temptation is always strong, I think, to take the easier way out. It would have been a lot easier probably for me to take the way out and not come to fill in your church. I had a stroke a year and a half ago, and it's affected my voice, and I'm not sure I got my voice back, and the confidence is not there. And yet that probably been easy if I had just said, no, I'm retired now and I can stay. But there are choices we make like this every single day, the choice between something easy and something hard. Why is this so serious, you say? Well, it seems like insignificant temptations. What's the concern? A writer I used to love to read years ago, Helmut Tiki, said in one of his books, How Evil Came Into the World, he quote, "The tempter always operates in disguise. He hides behind a mask of harmless, indeed pious benevolence. All temptations in life begin in sugared form. The people never know the devil's there, even though he has them by the throat." The harmless temptations are sometimes the most difficult, the most dangerous. Those little things. That little thing in high school, when a young boy or girl decides it's okay to smoke a joint. Little tempting thing, everybody's doing it, only to end up being addicted. That little choice can sometimes be a very dangerous choice. The gospel lesson for today describes one of Jesus' encounters with the tempter. The devil is offering Jesus temptations which seem harmless at the time. They're not temptations to do evil. They are hidden in the cloak. The devil is not about to ask Jesus to denounce his belief in God, denounce the presence of God. But if I sneak in through the side door and ask some rather questions of him, maybe I can get that door open by a false temptation. Command this stone to become bread. Not a bad idea, is it? Can you imagine what the world would be like if all the stone was turned to bread? How many people could be fed? Can you imagine what that would be like? It goes a giant direction toward filling the needs of millions of people. In other words, if properly, this bread-making power could provide a marvelous humanitarian service. That's not just denying God. That's just, how about turning this stone into bread? And how about this? Accept the authority of over all earthly kingdom. Oh, wow. With Jesus in control of the world's political, military, and economic power? Except it wouldn't be that, you see. It would be Satan's power controlling. He's subtly trying to get in there again of the temptation. Or another way, Jesus is to serve the Son of God. Dive off this temple and let God perform a dramatic miracle and save you. Such a message would be appealing to the masses, if we like to hear that God will keep successful and happy. The appeal of these temptations is so subtle in what the devil is trying to accomplish here. It's so subtle in what the devil tries to accomplish in our own lives by confronting us with easy or difficult choices in life. The appeal to these temptations in Jesus' life was increased by the contrast in which God had chosen Jesus, and Jesus was to walk a certain path, and it was not going to be an easy path to go. He had just come from the baptism. He had just come from the River Jordan into these 40 days. And the devil hits him when he's the weakest, when he's not had food now or nourishment.
Doesn't the devil often hit us in those times when we're weak? Just to take a little subtle hint, Jesus surely was tempted to take some other road, perhaps easier way. Such temptations did not cease, for Luke notes that the devil did not give up. Rather, the devil said he had departed until a more opportune time. A much more opportune time, even as appeared on the cross, could have been tempted to give it all, but didn't happen. The author from, as Jesus drew nearer to the pain and horror of the cross, the temptation became more intense. I don't know how many of you remember. It's a movie that came out, I think, in the early 90s, maybe even the late 80s. It was a very controversial movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. It was a movie about Christ, and the author of that movie portrays Jesus as being tempted even as he hung on the cross. The writer Jesus imagines what life would be like if he had not been on the cross. In those moments on the cross, the writer pictures Jesus going through this time, imagining what it would be like to have a wife, a sexual relationship with his wife, the children, to have children, to have a job as a carpenter, to grow old and let his hair grow long and then see the grandchildren. This was going through, and the author of this movie had Jesus going through this whole process in his mind, that his disciples now had been a rock, but now they were a sponge full of holes, and the others were spiritless men with bloated bellies, dangling backsides, and double chins. In that sometime long ago, they'd given up the fight, and their destiny shriveled to meaningless. In their company was an angry Judas who bellowed the truth about uncrucified Jesus. Traitor, destroyer, deserter, your place was on the cross. That's where the God of Israel put you to fight. But you got cold feet. And the moment death lifted its head, you couldn't get away fast enough. And here you are now. The rest of the disciples joined in the chorus against Jesus. Coward, deserter, traitor. Jesus' dream was a horrible nightmare. His life had been wasted, for he fell to the temptation and avoided the cross. He chose the easier way. In that movie, in that time, the author of Hebrews brings us into the temptation experience of Jesus with these words: "For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus' constant temptation was to choose another way. Our temptation is similar: to choose an easier way. The way of the cross is heavy. All of us have our own crosses to bear. We all can talk, we can think about people who carry heavy crosses. They have heavy responsibilities to take care of. The husband whose wife has suffered MS for over 20 or 30 years cares for daily. The parents whose daughter is plagued with severe mental illness. A young man who carries the weights of a friend who has no other friend. If you know people who don't have crosses, then you likely don't know very many people. We all have them. The question is how we handle them, how we carry them. But under the strain and pain of our crosses, we're often tempted, as was Jesus. We wish there was another way. God, could you just... I appreciate the fact that you've given me the ability to carry something, but does it have to be this heavy? Can't you give me a little lighter load, Jesus? Can't you just make it just a little bit better, easier for me? In the film that I just mentioned, Jesus awakens from his nightmare to find himself on the cross. He's relieved as to find himself as we are, to discover that his uncrucified state was only a miserable dream. He was not a coward. He was not a deserter. He was not a traitor. For the crucified, he now accepted God's way. The closing words of the last temptation of Christ lift high the central feature of our faith. Temptation had captured him for a while, a split second, and led him astray. The joys, the marriages and children, the lies, the deceit, degraded old men who shouted coward, deserter, traitor to him, were all lies. All men, all were illusions sent by the devil. His disciples were alive and thriving. They were gone over the sea and land and were proclaiming the good news. Everything had turned out as it should. Glory be to God. He uttered the last triumphant cry, "It is accomplished." I get goosebumps saying that. It is accomplished. Jesus died on the cross. He was faithful to God's plan. He did not fail. He did not fall to temptations. Oh, that we could say the same for ourselves. Too often the crosses we bear are too painful, and we run from them. Crosses become so heavy that we shun away. Jesus on the cross died on the cross. He was faithful to God's plan. When we fail, our comfort is found in the Jesus who never lets us down, who went on the cross to carry those temptations for us. He will do that forever if necessary, or long enough for our faith to be strengthened and our trust in God to be renewed so that we can pick up our own crosses again and fulfill God's purpose for our lives. The time of temptation indeed comes to all of us, and we cannot avoid it. Again and again we will be tempted to avoid the way of the cross. Again and again we will probably fall to such temptations. But his death on the cross establishes forever that love is more powerful than evil, that sacrifice is greater than selfishness, that good is stronger than evil. Jesus' death on the cross proclaimed that God's gracious plan for his chosen ones will not be defeated by any temptation. He is faithful. He is loyal. He is obedient. Our prayers are answered. And if you look at the title of the sermon this morning, we are saved from a time of trial. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.